This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Every single one of you are making an impact. Every single one of you are doing something of value. However big or small it is, do it. There is no ego when it comes to service. I wanted to start off with something about something that happened 2 weeks ago. So on the 15th of March, I remember I was waking up next to my children, and my husband came upstairs and he's like, "Did you just hear the news?" And I was like, "No." And you know when your husband comes and tells you, "What, did you just hear the news?" You're assuming that something happened and maybe some Muslims did something. And I'm like, you know, my heart drops, and he's like, "No, like, you know, the news, it's all about New Zealand, it's all about Christchurch." And you know, your heart drops a little. You become a bit scared, you become a bit fearful. You're thinking one or two people. But when the news comes about 50, you have realizations. You have, you know, lessons. And if you understand the Quran and Sunnah, you start going back to verses and you start going back to hadith. So I started reflecting back to individuals within the seerah. And I started thinking about how did they deal with these challenges. And then as days go on, you started hearing stories about some of those individuals. And then I thought about greatness. I said, what makes somebody great? I said, here in Christchurch, we had ordinary people. And as you hear their stories, they become extraordinary, right? But in the seerah, we have the likes of Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anhu. Would you say he's great? He's great, right? You know, when we think about Umar bin Khattab, we think about somebody who was unapologetically Muslim. You know, Umar, this conference is about run back to Allah. When Umar became Muslim, you know, he ran out and he gave the Muslims confidence. As I give you these names, I want you to start reflecting back in your community, in Scotland, in Glasgow. Do we have people like that who give us confidence? When I think of Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anhu, I think about Mehdi Hassan. And you know, I think about him being in the House of Commons, and I was listening to his lecture, and I'm like, that gives me confidence. And then you have Mus'ab bin Umair, radiallahu anhu, where the Prophet of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, he sent him to Medina, and he said, you know, call the people to Islam. And Mus'ab, he ran to Medina, and they said that there was not one home that there wasn't a Muslim. We think of Nusaybah bin Kalb, radiallahu anha, and I want to use females, you know, because we have a tendency to learn about male companions. And sometimes the sisters, they think, what about us? So you have Nusaybah, they say she was tending to the soldiers. She's a nurse, right? And she saw the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he was being attacked. And they say that she picked up the sword and she ran to the Prophet of Allah and she started defending him. And they say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, he looked at her and he's like, look at her iman, look at her courage. And then you have Hani. Hani is the aunt of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And Hani, she turned around and she said, if we were men, then nobody would dare say something about my nephew. She's speaking about the Prophet of Allah. And they say that Abu Lahab, he actually passed away because he was abusing the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and Hani became so angry. She's an aunt, right? You know, aunt, you sometimes you go when you get angry and sometimes you just lash out. And Hani became so angry that she wounded him. Like, I'm not propagating that stuff, but I'm like, look at these individuals, look at their iman, look at their faith, look at their courage. And then you have Aisha bin Abi Bakr. You know, she ran back to Allah with her ilm, with her knowledge, with her ibadah. She was worshipping Allah. And finally, the example I want to use is Khadija radiallahu anha. You know, she ran back to Allah through her sacrifice. You know, all of these companions, they're not great because they were around the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They are great due to the impact that they made in their community. So now all of you are here, and I always say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not random. Like, you're not here because your mom told you to come, or you know a few brothers. You're here because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose you to listen to something. You know, he wants to plant seeds so you can go out and you can do something. And now going back to these, we think that Umar bin Khattab, radiallahu anh, we think about Musa bin Umair, that they are great and they are figments of the past. They're in the past. One thing we learned, and what we learned in the tragedy in New Zealand, is that these people who were murdered, that their strength, their resilience, their iman, their courage, that they are great. That we have individuals in our community that are as great and as amazing, and their greatness still remains within us and around us. So the question, and I want you to constantly be asking yourself questions. People come to talks and they leave and they don't reflect. Like tafakkur, why do we have the Quran and why do we have the Sunnah? Why, when we have teachers, what makes knowledge so pivotal is that we're reflecting and that we're engaging. And an example is in Surah An-Naba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, عَمَّا يَتَسَأَلُونَ عَنِ النَّبَإِ الْعَظِيمِ كَلَّا سَيْعَلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيْعَلَمُونَ. You know, when you think of kalla, and I'm saying kalla, and I'm not screaming, I'm not going to, you know, you think kalla, I have children, and my, anybody who has children, is, you know, when they're two, they're not going to listen to you. So you know when your child runs to a fire, you're like, kalla, it's so loud, it's so, like, it's so fearful. The Quran is a very emotional book. You know, the seerah is a very organic, it's alive, and we have to connect with these stories more than just being stories that are there and written. You know, every single one of you, you can be great. You can do great things, you know, but it means looking in the mirror and finding self-worth. You know, looking in the mirror and telling yourself that you can specialize, you can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at a very high level, that you don't have to be broken because you make mistakes, because everybody makes mistakes. You don't have to be broken because you struggle with your salah. Everybody struggles with their salah. There's someone who prays five times a day and they're struggling with concentration. You know, I'm a mother and my children are 4 and 2. Like, having a salah with khushu is almost non-existent. But I continue praying and I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will compensate my salah. So greatness is not becoming Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. You know, greatness is finding what's right and what's good for you and embracing it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said in the Quran, وَمَنْ يُطِعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُمْ I was like, my husband has the Quran. I'm like, I get mixed up on this one. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُطِعُ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسَنُ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and this is where it's applicable to every single one of you. He says that whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, whoever obeys the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, they are those who will have favors. The siddiqina, you know, the truthful, the shuhada, the martyrs, and the salihin. Like, you can be of the highest companions. This ayah is just not reserved for the sahaba radiallahu anhum. It's reserved for every single person who follows the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, even though it's so difficult. You know, in the time of the Prophet Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I always say, you know, the masajids, they didn't have barriers. There was no barrier in the Prophet's mosque. That doesn't mean remove the barriers. Like, that means that the Prophet Ali Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was not concerned about physical barriers. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knows that you can have masajids with barriers and everybody has a phone. They can still be doing stuff. He was more concerned about creating that internal barrier, that wherever you are, you fear Allah. Like taqwa, like the process of tazkiyah and tarbiyah was the purpose of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because that is what is effective. So now, going back to Christchurch, like, we have, you know, and the names came out, the different names, and then your heart kind of shattered a bit more. You had Naeem. You know, they say that he was so courageous that he ran up to the attacker and he fought. And then you had Ata al-Ayyan. And Ata al-Ayyan, when you look at his pictures, you know, they say that when he passed away, and he was on the futsal team, so he was mixing with Muslims and non-Muslims, they say that it literally left a hole in the heart of the community. And I think, and I'm like, if I passed away today, what's my impact? When you think of Husna, you know, I think of Nuseiba bin Kab. She's in the women's area, right? And she hears something and she thinks about her husband and she runs down just to see he's okay. So we think Nuseiba was in the past. We've got women who are at that caliber in our community. And I ask ourselves, like, are we cultivating a Mus'ab bin Umair? Are we cultivating an Umar bin Khattab? You know, are we cultivating a Khadija bin Khawailid? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them all. Are we within ourselves taking that journey with Allah? You know, having goals, having aspirations, having reflections every single day. You know, we know the hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He got up, like, you know, he came and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam kept saying he's a person of Jannah. And then eventually a companion went to his house trying to discover how is he a person of Jannah. And he comes to the realization that the only thing he does is that he goes to sleep and he removes all hatred of all enmity of anybody who exists. We think mental health is a new issue. Mental health is something that existed in the time of the Prophet ﷺ because he was constantly preparing a community that was more focused on creating an impact within their capacity rather than living for the dunya. Because the dunya ends, your impact doesn't. So now, that's the question I want you to ask. You know, if I passed away, who would remember me? What impact have I left? What am I doing? How would my parents remember me? You know, and that's why going back to Atha al-Ayyan, you know, on Facebook, one of his friends who's part of the futsal team, like Paul, and really touched me. And Paul, he makes the comment that, you know, anybody dare be racist or Islamophobic, you know, come to me and I'll sort you out. And he's saying that it's like we knew Atha, and we knew how amazing and how dedicated and how great of a Muslim he was. So, and I think of the Prophet ﷺ, who was defending the Prophet. They knew the Prophet ﷺ was amazing and was great. They just disagreed with his message. Same with like people like Atha. They may not be Muslim, but they know they are of great character. And that's what you can be. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't ask you about the person next to you. He will ask you, how did you treat your husband? How did you treat your wife? How did you bring up your children? How did you treat your neighbor? When you go outside, how do you treat people outside? What message are you sending them? So they, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, what made him such a great person, he was constantly in the service of people. And that's why if you want to follow the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, and that's why when the brothers think I'm following the sunnah, I'm going to have a beard, I'm going to have a thobe. You know, 10 years ago, like, I remember everybody was obsessed with ensuring that their thobe was high, it didn't touch the floor. You know, like, that is the sunnah to a certain extent. But the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam is that he is khuluqul azim, that he is great in character, that he was an amazingly great human being, and that should be our aim. And that's why I say when people focus on aqeedah and tawheed, or the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they disregard the seerah, they become harsh, you know, they become unkind. But when you have the Quran, when you have the hadith, and when you have the sunnah, that's where you gain a balance. That's where you learn that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he cried. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he felt. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam did grieve. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he had disagreements with his wives. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam lost children. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was slandered, was humiliated, but he always turned back to Allah. He was not man enough or good enough to feel. So you will feel, but how are you responding to your challenges? Challenges that are so inevitable. Challenges that will come and that will break you, but you can pick yourself up again. So, going back to service, and I always say that people are not lost to tragedies. We lose people to drugs. We lose people to, you know, alcohol. We lose people to gambling. We lose people to bad character. We lose people to, you know, they abandon their salah, they abandon their dua. You know, every single one of you, you may have people, and you definitely have people in your families that don't pray salah, that may be drinking alcohol, even though they're Muslim, they may be involved in drugs. You know, they won't come to events like this. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't expect people to come and listen to him because people wouldn't come. The Prophet ﷺ went out to them. So we may have a deen that is so amazingly great, but if the deen is just within our four walls, there's no impact. So the question is, how are you taking this amazing deen to your children, to your family members, to your friends? How are we as a community tackling the issues of drugs, of alcohol, of gambling, of a lack of salah, of apathy, by the way? There are people who are not even concerned about their deen. How are we tackling this? Because they're not bad people. Because we've been there too. Every single one of you may have come from a non-practicing background, a non-practicing family, and you found Allah because there was someone who was helping you. How can you be that person who is helping other people? And that's where your greatness lies, you know, helping people within your capacity. Not everybody needs to come on stage and give a speech. Not everybody needs to recite Quran. Not everybody needs to write a book. Not everybody needs to be a doctor. But everybody needs to be something. Something to them. You have to work within your potential. So, moving on is taking responsibility. Because it's not the challenge that defines you. And the Prophet ﷺ didn't stay within his home. And when you, and I'm going to bring in the story of Hajar in a small while, but the Prophet ﷺ says in Qada al-Hawaj, he said that verily Allah has, he's assigned blessings to people. Like he's given them blessings, and he consolidates their blessings as long as they offer them to others. If they refuse to give them, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take the blessings away. And this hadith focuses on going out and helping others. If you are not helping others, if you are not using your blessings to your good, if you are not using your wealth, we all have money, we all have something. You all have something more than someone else. You know, if we are not using them well, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take them away. So, we have to do our part. So now we're going to take a step back. Take a step back to the prophetic society. So not everyone in the community of the Prophet ﷺ, as I mentioned, was great. We had Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, you know, he was a great leader. We had Aisha bin Abi Bakr, you know, she was into ilm, she was into knowledge, she was into ibadah. And more importantly, not everybody was known. So not everybody here needs a name, but everybody was valued to the Prophet of Allah. And that's why, you know, people would come to the Prophet ﷺ and they were his sahiba. You know, sahib is something that is incredibly close. And the Prophet ﷺ, he was going to the masjid in Sahih al-Bukhari and he saw a group of women and he's like, assalamu alaikum, how are you? And he made them feel so welcome. And they say the Prophet ﷺ, nobody smiled more than the Prophet of Allah. Like, do you see how it was such an inclusive community? So, going back to being known, going back to being unknown, you know, in a Sahih hadith in Ibn Majah, Sa'id, he narrates a story of a black woman. She's a black woman, she's from Abyssinia, and she used to clean up the masjid every single day. So the Prophet ﷺ would notice her, like she's just cleaning. She's elderly and she's old, but she's like, I need to clean the masjid. We have uncles like that, right? They like to spend their time in the masjid. So the Prophet ﷺ, for years, he's just seeing her. And suddenly one day, she's not there. So now the Prophet of Allah, he comes the next day, and she's a nobody to the people, by the way. Just the uncle, just the aunt. And the Prophet of Allah, he turns around and he's like, where is she? You know, they say, oh, yeah, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, she passed away last night. So we just buried her. We did her funeral. And they say the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam became so sad. He became so upset. He's like, how come you didn't tell me? And indirectly, they're saying, she's just a woman. She's just a cleaner. Like, she's not that important. And the Prophet ﷺ really felt it. And they say that her home was like a mile away. And they say the Prophet with a few companions, he walked all the way to her graveyard and he went and he prayed there for her. In the history of Islam, the Prophet of Allah والسلام, never did that for another companion. And then he came back. You know, here's a woman that is so unknown in the community, but she's so valued to the Prophet of Allah because she's giving a service to the community, because she's doing something. You know, many times I come as a speaker and people put speakers on a pedestal. That's not real, by the way. And like, should I get your tea? Should I get this? And I'm like, who am I? Like, we're just at the service of Allah. Like, we're nothing special. Every single one of you are making an impact. Every single one of you are doing something of value. However big or small it is, do it. There is no ego when it comes to service. We are all good enough for everything. So now, just a few things quickly, is that be a caretaker. And I have three examples. And the examples I have are two women. So I'm a female speaker, right? I want to appeal to you. And I want you to think that we can help our women be something. You know, and we all have to understand our priorities at home, at work and stuff, but we can still be something. So here we have Fatima Al-Fihri. You know, she established a Islamic institution that was helping thousands of people. We have Ans Tamara Gray. You know, she's the founder of Rabata. You know, she's teaching Islam to so many people. I can give you hundreds and hundreds of names of women who are making an impact, and their mothers, their sisters, their educators, they have PhDs, and nothing takes anything away from them, and it doesn't take them away from their families. They're so committed to both, but they have discipline. They have taqwa. They're not wasting their time. So the final thing I want to say is running back to Allah. I'm ending there. We have the example of Hajar alayhi salam. So Hajar alayhi salam is the wife of Prophet Ibrahim. So can you imagine Hajar? She's in her home and she's happy and she's content. And then her husband, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, he comes to her and he's like, we're going out. We're going somewhere. And Hajar alayhi salam is thinking, okay. Let's be realistic. She's thinking to herself, where are we going? And her husband's like, we're going somewhere. As a wife, I'm like, I want to know where we're going. But she gets up and she trusts her husband. And her husband takes her out to a desert, Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he starts walking away. And he doesn't just leave his wife. He leaves his child. That's very difficult. And people say, a lot of people, why didn't Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam say anything? Because men deal with pain differently. Many times with men, when they're dealing with pain, they have a tendency to just clap up. You know, I know when my husband is dealing with pain, sometimes I just have to let him be. Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam is hurting so much that he doesn't know how to tell her. And then she understands, because she's a, you know, she fears Allah, she understands Allah, she has yaqeen. And she said, did Allah tell you? And he's like, yes. And then she's like, okay. So running back to Allah, when Hajar alayhi salam is left in the desert, does she like be like, okay, help will come, Allah will save me, something will come? No. Hajar alayhi salam, when she realizes that no human help is coming, she seeks for divine aid. And she runs. Does she run one time? She doesn't, right? How many times does she run? Seven. You know, and they say that she would have kept running until help came. She didn't have apathy. She didn't suffer in silence. She got up and she ran seven times until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave her help. Until she became the custodian of Mecca. You know, until she's the one who had the key. So she was running back to Allah. And she was running back for her family, for her children, and for her community. So I want to end. Hajar alayhi salam may be a woman, but her lessons are applicable for every single one of you. Whenever you go through a test, whenever you go through a challenge, whenever you assess your home and your community, and you find something, run back to Allah in different ways until you find the solution. Because one of the tricks of Shaytan is to make you give up hope, and don't let him win. So I'll end there. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Wa astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Barakallahu feekum.